I didn't want to get in trouble and invite. So cool. So they're going to be out that door. Cool. So you guys can be dismissed and you guys can go out the door. Also, wish Miss Laura a very happy birthday. She is 10 years old today. I said we wish Miss Laura a happy birthday. 10 years old today. Getting old. So. Perfect. Sorry about that. See, I just type it in and enter it, and I guess we messed it up the last time we used that song. Chalk it up to whoever did that song last. It's probably me. Amen. Brother Glenn taking notes on his cool computer like a cool cat. Show off. Amen. Well, my plan tonight is to be short. We'll see where that goes. I think it's going to happen that way. Here lately, every time I say that, Carrie just scoffs at me and doesn't believe it. So we'll see. But we'll be in the same scripture that we were in last time. We'll be in 2 Chronicles 29. And I'm going to begin in verse number 1 and kind of read through and kind of remind us of where we're at. And we're going to focus tonight on verses 20 through 36 as we look at the formula for worship. So let's begin in 2 Chronicles 29, verse number 1. This thing is wobbly. 2 Chronicles 29, verse number 1, the Bible says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Remember, let's not forget the significance of that statement. That can only be said about two other people other than himself. That he did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Hezekiah is a very special king. Verse number 3, we're reminded of his burden, his desire. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed, and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he had delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose, Mahath the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, the son of the Kohathites, and the sons of Merari, Kish the son of Abdi, and Azariah the son of Jehalalel, and of the Gershonites, Joah the son of Zimmah, and Eden the son of Joah, and of the sons of Elizaphan, Shimri, Jael, and of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mattaniah, and of the sons of Haman, Jehiel, and Shimei, and the sons of Jeduthun, Shimei, and Uzziel. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves, and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kedron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. In the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, and the altar of the burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table and with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified. And behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." So before we go on, I want to point out, kind of by way of introduction, and you'll see these will be points on there, Stanley. You can go past them when we get there here in a minute. But we see first in verses 16 through 18, just to, by way of recap, that the temple was purified. Remember, tonight we're looking at the formula for worship. And before worship can be done, true worship anyways. Now, when we think of worship nowadays, we think of hooping, hollering, shouting, and just excitement everywhere. But that's not necessarily worship. Now, sometimes that is. I've seen services where God's moved, where people are filled with the Holy Spirit, and it literally just overflows. It's like you can tell. When God's on it, you can tell. And when God's not on it, you can tell. But we see here, before true worship can be done, the temple had to be purified. And the same thing with us, and we'll deal with it as we go down further as well. Before we can worship, and I dealt with this in Sunday school several weeks ago, we've got to prepare ourselves, purify ourselves before we can worship. We can't truly worship. Now, we may be able to say amen, shout, and look the part, but inwardly and spiritually, we cannot worship God until we are pure. And they could not worship in the temple until it was pure, as you saw in verses 16 through 18. And then the temple was also prepared in verse 19. Not only did they take out the sinful things, but also they brought back in what was supposed to be there. "Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, having prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord." So not only do we need to purify ourselves before we can worship, we've got to prepare ourselves before we can worship. If all we do is confess sin throughout the week, and we're not preparing ourselves spiritually before we get to this building, then we're not going to be able to worship. This building should be, I believe, the catalyst that sets aflame the fuel in your heart that you have put. Just think of a wood stove. And all week long, what we're doing is we're loading it full of wood. And this is what I thought about today. Loading it full of wood, of the right kind of fuel. And on Sunday, the wood stove being prepared is fueled by what God lays on my heart, by the songs we sing, just the way the service goes. I believe that should light that fuel and enable us to serve God and love God throughout the week. Or you can come to church empty as can be and not get anything out of the service. So if we prepare ourselves before we get there, we can worship, truly worship. So the temple was purified. The temple had been prepared. Now, as we get into our scripture for tonight, verses 20 through 36. "Then Hezekiah the king arose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams, 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar and killed also the lamb, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make atonement for all Israel, for the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. and set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. That's the choir director, I believe. A lot of psalms were addressed to him or from him. And they sang praise with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now you have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." And the congregation brought in sacrifice and thank offerings, as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, 100 rams, 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the and the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. And the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in the abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people for the thing was done suddenly. So, we saw, Stanley, you can go past the first 2 points and get to point number three there. There you go. So, we saw the temple has been purified. The temple has been prepared. And now the temple has become a place of worship. And we can become people of worship if we will purify and prepare our hearts before we ever get to church. And we should not wait until now to worship. This isn't in here in the message, but we should worship the Lord all week long through prayer, through reading His Word, through living a life of holiness. I believe the best form of worship is a life lived in holiness to God, honoring Him each and every day. And when we come to the house of God, having lived a holy life, having been filled with the Scriptures, having been filled with the Spirit, having been speaking to God in prayer, it will overflow into a very special and powerful time together as a body of believers, I believe. So we see the temple became a place for praise. So as we look at this and go through this, we see the formula for worship. Because they had a formula here. The place was ready. It was prepared. But now we see the formula for worship. First, as we look at this, and it shouldn't be much longer after this, first we see there must be attendance. Sounds kind of obvious, but it's true. If we want to worship God together at church, in the temple, we got to be here. We got to be at God's house. And I'm speaking, preaching to the choir tonight, and there are many people probably watching right now that want to be here that just aren't feeling well tonight. And I'm not saying that in the sense of a rebuke toward anyone. It's just we need to never forget the importance of coming together here, worshiping together here. And we've got to take very seriously the virus and the way it's moving again right now, but we've got to pray very hard that we handle it correctly and we get together as much as we can. And it's not here, and I've not felt any change of any services at all, but I think we need to be careful to mess with the fact that we come together here, because it's very important. The Bible says, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And isn't that the manner of so many today? And even through this COVID stuff over the past 18 months, some churches that it shocked me that they responded in the way they did, and to each their own. I'm not them, they're not me. I've got to decide for Mountain City Baptist. I can't decide for them. But a lot of them still aren't meeting. And those churches are bleeding and die. Some of them probably are shutting doors that are struggling right now. We've got to be careful not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. We need encouragement. We need to be uplifted. We need to know we're not in this alone. We need to know we're together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, the devil wants it to be less and less. But the Bible says we need to meet more and more. We don't need to meet less. The day of the Lord is closer now than it's ever been. And the Bible says as it gets closer, we need to be together more because we're going to be under attack more. We're by people and by Satan. I mean, we're going to be under attack. We need to be together. So we've got to be, there must be attendance, obviously. But as we think about this attendance, I mean passionate attendance. People excited to come to the house of God. Look here at verse number 20. Look what it says about Hezekiah. Then Hezekiah, the king, rose at 10:30 in the morning, barely got out of bed, slicked his hair back, slapped some clothes on, and came to church. No, that's not what it says. Then Hezekiah the king rose early. And people are late sometimes. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about in Hezekiah here, you can tell he was passionate about the house of God because he got up early. I bet he went to bed thinking about it and didn't sleep very good that night because he was excited to get in the house of God because it hadn't been there in a while. And may God help us to be that way about this place. And I believe we've got a church just like that. I believe I'm preaching to people that have a strong desire to be here. But we need to guard that and we need to keep that. And because one time becomes two, becomes three if we're not careful. I have seen in people's lives, it becomes easy not to come. Sometimes we miss for things we have to miss for. Sometimes it happens. But the devil, I believe, even uses those times to say, well, you missed last week. Why don't I miss this week? We've got to be careful. We've got to stay passionate about coming here. And not only passionate, but punctual. And this is really just fueling off the thought that you can tell he's excited. Because it says that Hezekiah the king rose early. He was excited. You could tell it. And sometimes people can't help it but to be late to church. I mean, that, I'm not hammering that either. But I'm just saying, in him, you could see that he was excited. I bet, now he's a king, so he probably didn't have to lay his clothes out. But if he did, I could see Hezekiah laying his clothes out the night before, getting everything ironed and ready and prepared because he was excited to go to church. And may God help us to be that way. One preacher, and I don't do these things perfectly at all, but one preacher said that we should be very serious and about preparing ourselves spiritually and physically. He even said, lay your clothes out the night before. He even said, pray about and prepare your tithes and write your checks before you ever get to church. Make it a point to do all those things, preparing your heart, preparing your mind, preparing your body physically to come to the house of God. Now, I don't do those things perfectly or very well, but that's a good example as we see in Hezekiah. He was passionate, and because he was passionate, he was punctual. We see that here. He was excited to go to God's house, and that's really what I'm trying to get at there. Hezekiah was fired up. He had lived under his wicked dad. Can you imagine that? Somebody loved the Lord as much as he did. And it wasn't like he came to love the Lord and got right with God after his dad died. I bet Hezekiah was living. I bet his dad was not happy with him. And he lived a godly life. He had lived it for so long. He had been out of church for so long. And so that was one cool thing about here. When we were in the parking lot, we were having those services for 2 or 3 months. And then people would come in the building and sit behind us while I was preaching, which was awesome. That was cool. And each week, people would say, hey, when are we going to come back in here? When are we going to come? And each week, more people would come sit inside and listen from behind us. There was a hunger to get back in here because we have a church, I believe, that loves coming together, that loves fellowship, and that loves hearing the Word of God. And that is special. And we need to guard that. So if there is going to be worship, there needs to be attendance. We need to be here. And you all know that, but we need to be reminded of that. But not only must there be attendance, but there must be atonement. We see here. Look here at verse 21 through 24. Well, actually, before we read that, verse number 7 shows us what was happening before this. Verse number 7 says, also, they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. They had not been doing this. There could not be worship without it. And they had not been doing it. And there had to be it before they could truly worship. We see in verses 21 through 24, the Bible says, "And they brought seven bullocks, seven rams, seven lambs, seven he-goats for a sin offering, for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. And so they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for a sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make atonement for all Israel, for the kingdom that he burnt, that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel." So we see there, before there could be worship, there had to be atonement. Imagine if we had to do that now, before we could get started with our church service. And that's what happened here. Before we can sing songs and praise God, we got to slaughter some animals. See, that's what they had to do then. Praise God, we don't have to do that now. See, remember at this time, they continued to do atonement and to slaughter the animals to cover, not cleanse, the sin. It's like a line of credit in a bank. If you want, you can just continue to pay the interest. The debt doesn't go away, but it doesn't increase, so that you can continue to pay that, but the debt's still there. And that's what they were doing. They would give atonement, and they hadn't done it in a long time, actually. They would cover, not cleanse, their sin. See, but thank God, I praise the Lord when Jesus died on the cross, and when we placed our faith and trust in Him, whenever that was for each and every one of us, at that moment, it didn't cover, it cleansed. At that moment, it said bought and paid for. They stamped it paid in full. And I praise God for that. See, but before we can worship as a people, there needs to be atonement in our life. We need to be saved. I mean, I'm sure lost people can hoop and holler, shout and say amen and look the part, but inwardly and spiritually, we cannot worship truly until we're saved. But there must be atonement in the sense of justification, but also purification. We talked about this earlier, but since it's here, we're hitting it again. We've got to purify ourselves. Remember 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, we dealt with this Sunday, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess once we're saved, not for forgiveness in the sense of our sins not forgiven, but for restoration of our fellowship with God. Another scripture that paints a good picture of this, John 13:4-10. He riseth from supper, this is Jesus, and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And here's what I wanted to get at. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. So that's a picture of once we're saved, we are clean. But every day we get marred by sin in this flesh, and we need to confess it and forsake it so fellowship can be restored. And it's very important that we deal with our sin and we deal with it immediately, quickly and completely. So we can come here. Now, this is a great place for people to get right with God and to confess sin. But if we as believers want God to work, I believe, in the hearts of the unbelievers, we need to deal with stuff before we get here so that the Holy Spirit can move freely and work like He wants to, I believe. So we see that there must be atonement in the sense of justification and purification. So there must be attendance. There must be atonement. Then there can be, thirdly, adoration. Then there can be worship. When God's people are here, when God's people are prepared, then there can be worship. We see in verses 25 through 36. First, in song, verse 25, he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priests, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. When the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offerings were finished. And isn't it a beautiful thing when God's people are, and you can, it's like you can tell in a service when people are where they need to be with the Lord, and the Lord's moving like He wants to. It's a very special thing. When you sing music, and I praise the Lord for the music and the songs we sing here. Our songs are never to put on a show, but always to uplift Him. And when God's people are prepared and they're here and we sing songs to uplift Him, it's a very, very special thing. And it points our eyes toward the Lord. It helps us to focus where we need to, and it prepares our heart for the message God has for us from His Word. So we see there was worship, there was adoration in song and in sacrifice. Verse number 31, then Hezekiah answered and said, now you have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices, thank offerings, as many as were of free heart burnt offerings. So they offered sacrifices, offerings of thanksgiving. And I believe when God's people are pure, people are prepared, and God's people are in the house of God, as you sing songs, it will cause in our hearts for us to thank the Lord. Now, for some people, that may result in a hand raise or an amen or a nod or a tear. But I believe it will produce thanksgiving in our hearts. And that's a special thing. That's a very special thing to be a part of a church service like that. So we see adoration in song, in sacrifice. But I want to point out, all of this was structured. This wasn't just a crazy, random hoop and holler and let's just do our own thing. It was very structured. And I believe God has a plan for how He wants us to worship. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. I want to praise God with the best of them. But I want it to be in a way that is decently and in order and that honors God. There is a movement right now that is flying through the nation of the charismatic. There's some charismatic where they just hoop and holler and go crazy. And I don't believe God's within 100 miles of that. Some of them look like they're having seizures and convulsing. And this sounds crazy and like it's not real. But this is happening in churches in America. And we've got to be careful to guard the way we worship. We've got to be careful to do it the way God has laid out for us in His Word. And if we do it God's way, as we've seen in the Bible, as we'll see here in a minute, God will bless it. And that's what Hezekiah did. He followed what God told him to. He lined all the singers and all the sacrifices up just like the Word of God told him to. He did it God's way. And then the result, as we see finally, was an abundance of blessing. Look at all the offerings and everything that came in and how God blessed this. Verse 32, and the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks and 100 rams and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen, 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too, there was so much, there were not enough priests to do it. So that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. They had an overabundance of blessing. God's hand was on this because they did it God's way. And we've got to be careful not to be like them and let it be this as long overdue as it was for them. It had been years since they had worshipped God the way He had ordained. We know that because of what the Bible told us, and then God had judged them because of that. But when we worship God's way, He'll bless it every time. Now, it may not result in a big emotional stir, but as I've said many times, I'm kind of getting past that. Now, when that happens, I enjoy it. But that's not why I come here. It's not why I come to church, to get a good feeling so I can leave here. Man, that was good. I come here so God will stir in my heart and yours the truth that we've heard, give us a burden to be obedient to it, and give us the grace to live it. If we'll go out and live what this book says, that is what will help us to continue. Not an emotional experience. Although, praise God, when it's legitimate, it is special. But the Word of God lived out in our hearts is what will last. So, when we worship God's way, He will bless it. And we saw that here with Hezekiah. But that's all I've got tonight. I thought I was going to be short. I lied. I was 6 minutes shorter than last time, though. So I guess I was shorter. I didn't lie. But thank you all very much. Sorry you didn't get cupcakes. If I'd have made them, you wouldn't want to eat them. Next time we'll make all you ladies, well, not make, that doesn't sound right. Ask all you ladies to make us some treats. We won't invite the kids.